And this Seder discusses, for the most part, the dinim of Tomei and Tahara. Now, these terms do not have an English word or even a phrase which can adequately explain what they mean. And that's for the simple reason that these concepts are unique to Yiddishkeit and are not found anywhere else. Toma can't be seen with the human eye or felt with the hand as something completely spiritual. The more connected one is spiritually, the more they're able to understand and feel what Tomei and Tahara is in a real sense, and therefore we're just going to use the words Tomei and Tahara, or Tomei and Tahar. Now, these concepts tend to be quite foreign because, by and large, they're not really relevant today, save for a few circumstances. And this is besides for the fact that these dinim are quite complicated as is. Now, the Rambam, in his introduction to Seder Taharas, dedicates 25 extremely detailed simanim, laying the groundwork for understanding these mishnayos, and the Vilna Gaon as well gives a very detailed breakdown of the different types of toma and what effect they have on various different things, and every category has subcategories, and then there's always rules and exceptions to the rules with many different details and offshoots. Now, that being said, in our introduction, we're just going to discuss the very basic ideas without being too detailed. Over here, the following saying would be very apropos: less is more. And as we get to the various concepts in the different Masechtas and Mishnayos, so we'll try to explain them over there. But again, here's just the very basic idea. Number one, what is able to become Tamei? So that's people, kalim, and food, which include liquids. Now, not all people, not all foods, and not all kalim, and not in all situations, but that's a general idea. People, kalim, and food could become tamei. Now, how does something become tamei? So, one of two ways. Either it is the source of toma itself. Classic example is a dead animal. When it was alive, it wasn't tamei. Now that it died, it became tamei. And the other way is by transferring or transmitting toma. Classic example is we have something tamei, which touched something tahar. So, the tahar thing now became tamei. Now, it doesn't have to be through touching, as we're going to see there's other ways as well, such as masa, carrying, maybe even being in the same room as it, but just keeping it for now, the general idea is that toma could be transferred through touching. Now, are all the tomas the same? No, they're varying levels, and each level represents the severity of this toma, and it comes with its own unique set of instructions of what to and what not to do. So what are the levels of toma? And the basic names are avi avos ha-toma, that's the highest level, which is a human corpse. Then we have Av, and afterwards there's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi. And here's another important nekuda. The vast majority of the time, when Toma is transferred, it decreases one level in its intensity. And at some point in time, the Toma won't be strong enough to affect anything else. But again, this general idea is that if we have an Av, when it touches something, that thing becomes a Rishon. Now when the Rishon touches something, that new thing becomes a Sheni. So on and so forth, going to Shlishi, which as an aside, only applies to Truma and Kodshim, and then onto Revi, which only applies to Kodshim. Now, lastly, what can be done when someone or something is Tamei? So sometimes going to the mikvah and immersing is sufficient. Sometimes a more rigorous process is necessary. Other times, actually, nothing can be done and the Toma remains, which then obviously leads to discussion. Okay, so what do we do now? Do we just leave it, lock it up, bury it, burn it? And obviously, there's going to be many Mishnayos dedicated to that discussion as well. So now, moving on to the first Masechta, which is Kalim, and literally translated, that means utensils. So first of all, something needs to have the status of a kli in order to become tamei. A piece of wood, for example, or rock, or metal, even if they have a use of sorts, isn't necessarily called a kli, and therefore can't become tamei. Now, even if something does have the status of a kli, it still might not be able to become tamei, and that's because it depends what it's made from. And by that same token, just because it could become tamei, that doesn't mean that there's a way to metahir it. We're going to see all about that in this Masechta, which, by the way, is the longest Masechta in Shas Mishnayos, with a whopping total of 30 prakim. Now, going to the first parak of the Masechta, it actually begins with somewhat of an introduction to the Seder as a whole. Now, even though we gave our own introduction, Rebbe, who compiled the Mishnayos, decided that it was important to give an introduction of his own as well, and so that's what we're going to see in these first Mishnayos over here. So Maseches Kalim, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, tells us as follows. Aves HaTomais, the fathers of Tomais. Now, what does that mean, the fathers of Tomais? So we had already mentioned in the introduction to the Seder that the second most highest level of Tomais is called an Av, and the reason why it's called that is because this is usually the source of Toma, because besides for the case where somebody or something touched a corpse and that would make that person an avatoma, all other avasatoma are the source of toma themselves. So here in this first Mishnah, we talk about the most basic form of transferring toma, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. These avasatomas, what are they? Number one, hasharetz. We know there's 8 different shrutzim that the pasuk talks about. Not everything that's a creeper crawly is called a sharetz. There's 8 shrutzim though the pasuk talks about that are avatoma. Also, v'shichla zera, semen that comes from a man, utmei mace, somebody who had touched a mace, v'hametzayra b'mei safrai, a person person who had tsaras in the days that he's counting, we're not going to get into the details now, but suffice to say, when a person has tsaras and he has to count 7 days towards becoming tahar, so when he's in those days, he's considered avatoma. And also mechatos she'imrem kedei azaya, the mechatos that do not have enough to sprinkle, this referring to the water and ashes of the paraduma mixed together, that's called mechatos. Even though they are meant to be metahir, people are tamei mace, they actually have the status of tumas mace themselves, and that's what we're saying. If there's not enough kedei azaya, if we have this water that's not enough to sprinkle on a person, there is a minimum shear. So if we don't have that shear, but we still have this water, that also is an avatoma. Now all of these, hare elu metamin adam v'kelim b'maga, they will be metame a person and kelim through touching, meaning if any of these things which are an avatoma touch a person or kelim, that will render the person or kelim a rishon l'toma. And also klecheres ba'avir, they're metame an earthenware kli in its airspace. This is a special din regarding earthenware kelim, which we're going to be seeing throughout the Masechta, that all toma has to do is simply go into the airspace of the kli, and that's going to be metame it. And the Mishnah concludes, ve'einon metame b'masa, they are not metame b'masa, which means if a person carries them, for example, if a sheretz is on a plate and a person's carrying the plate, so he's not actually touching the sheretz, this will not be metame him. In the next Mishnayos, we're going to see avos atoma, which are a higher level, and they will be metame b'masa, but these avos atomas that the Mishnah just taught us are basic ones that are only metame b'maga. They're metame through touching, not through carrying or any other way. And we'll continue discussing levels of toma. And if you remember, in the previous Mishnah, we learned about standard avos atoma. Remember, an av is a source toma, and we learned just the basic idea that when we have a source toma and avatoma, if that touches something that's called maga, it's metameit, it transfers toma to it. In most situations, that thing which is touched becomes a rishon, going down a level from av to rishon. So Mishnah Beis tells us, lamala mehem, more than them. In other words, here we're going on to a higher level of chumra of toma. We're still discussing avos atoma, but here they're going to be metameit to even a greater and more chumra extent. So which ones are these referring to? Number one, nevela. This is an animal that died without shechita, and umechatas she yeshban kedei azaya. Mechatas is the water and ashes of parduma mixed together that's used to be metahir mesim. If there is enough here to do hazah, to sprinkle on someone to be metahir them, that's also a higher level avatoma. Now what does that mean in their higher level? Shehi metamenis adam b'masa letame begadim b'maga. They're metame a person b'masa, carrying, and that's metame begadim b'maga. So masa means carrying, as we just said. And the chesh by masa is that even though, let's say the nevela, for example, is not being touched, it's just being carried. For example, it's being carried on a plate, or it's being dragged along by a rope. So the person himself is not physically touching the nevela, it doesn't make a difference, it's still metame him. Now besides the fact that it's metame him, also we said that it's metame begadim b'maga. It's metame his clothing or other clothing as well through touch. What's that chedesh? So this is an added level. We know that a rishon l'toma is not able to be metame people or kelim. So for example, when a person touches an av, he becomes a rishon. Now if he touches somebody else or kelim, such as his own clothing, they're not tame because they can't become a sheni. Now masa, as we just learned, is an exception to that. While a person is carrying tuma, for example, he's carrying a piece of nevela, that not only makes him a rishon, but if he at that very same time touches another person or kelim, they also become a rishon. The Mishnah concludes with further clarification, v'chashuche begadim. This word v'chashuche means this excludes begadim, which literally means clothing, but it's also referring to other kelim as well, b'maga, with touch, namely, as we had just said before, that if a person had touched a nevela and he became tamei, and then he touched begadim, that's not going to be metame them. In other words, if he's not carrying the nevela or the mechatas, he's just touching it, so that's not going to be able to transfer the tuma to other people or to kelim. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel, l'mala mehen, even more chamer than we just mentioned, is the following, bayal nida, a man who's bayal, he cohabits, he lives with a nida, that's a woman who's tamei with nidas, as we're going to discuss a little bit later. If he's bayal her, he himself becomes an avatoma. And now why is this a higher level? Because shu metame mishkav tachtoin ke'elyoin, he's metame by way of mishkav tachtoin, just like elyoin. Now all this requires explanation. Mishkav means that which is laid down on, such as a bed. And we're going to see a little bit more about this toma a little bit later on in the Mishnah. It's also often called midras, which literally means to step on or trample, and it's chomer as follows. Anything that this person lays down on, sits on, or even leans his body weight on becomes tamei, even though he only touched the upper layer. For example, let's say there's 10 mattresses stacked one on top of another, and this person, this bayal nida, sits on the top one. All of them are tamei, even though he's only sitting on the top one, and he's maybe only touching the top one, it doesn't make a difference. This is called mishkav tachtoin, that which he is laying down on or sitting on, and it is tachtoin, it is underneath him, that is going to become tamei. Now what does this mean ka'el yoin. So it's actually referring to the el yoin of a zav. As we're going to see a little bit later on in Mishnah, if something is placed on top of a zav, it becomes tameh. Now the question is, what level tomah? So that's where we're going to see a little bit of a kula in this. It only becomes a rishain. Therefore, going back to what we just mentioned, this fellow who is ba'ala nida, he's metame mishkav tachtoin ka'el yoin. That means that even though he's an ava tomah and he's able to transfer tomah in this very chamer way of mishkav, it's only the level of tomah which is like elyon of a zav, namely a rishain. So going back to our example where he sat on the top of a stack of 10 mattresses, so all those mattresses become tameh, but they only become a rishain, not an ava tomah. Moving on to the next level, lamala mehen, more chamer than all the ones we previously mentioned in the previous two mishnayos and this mishnah as well, is the following: zayvish al zav verukai v'shechav azaray umeme raglav. All these things that come from a zav. So let's pause and explain. We're going to see a zav a little bit later on in the Mishnah, and this is something that we do not have nowadays. Back in times of Mishnah and the Gemara, they were experts at understanding different secretions that came from the body, and that's what a zav is. He had some sort of zav, which literally means flow, come from his private part. It was determined that this flow is tamei, and that makes him a very high level toma called a zav. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that the zav, this flow that came from the zav, or his reich, his spit, or his shechva zara, which means his semen, or his meiraglayim, which is his urine. Also, the Mishnah continues, v'dam hanida, blood which is considered nida blood. We know that a woman has a cycle that she goes through every single month where there's some blood that's excreted from her body. That's called dam nidos, blood of nida. So that also has a very high level toma. And all these things we just mentioned that come from a zav or a nida, they're a higher level than we just said before. In which way? Shein metamin b'maga u'bimasa, they're metamin with maga and masa. Namely, not just like the previous case where we mentioned that if a person is carrying something and then he touches kalim, he's giving metame those kalim. Here it's also even if he's just touching these things. So if you have a person who's touching the zav from a zav and then he touches other kalim, he's giving metame them. We go on to another level, malamahem, even more chumra than them, merkav. Literally this means riding. In other words, something that's dafka meant for riding, something that a zav rode on, or that's miyula rechiva. For example, the pommel of a saddle. Pommel is P-O-M-M-E-L. That's the front part of the saddle. That's like that knob sticking up that you hold onto while riding the animal. So that's miyud l'rechiva. It's not meant for sitting on. You don't sit on it. It's meant for riding. So that's metame even a higher level of toma. Namely, when a zav used it for riding, it actually becomes an ava toma, not just a rishain. And also, shu metame tachas evin misama. As metame, even if it's underneath a heavy rock. That's what evin misama means. Very heavy rock that's not going to be moved. For example, if the zav was on a rock and underneath the rock with something that's miyud l'rechiva, so it becomes tame. And then if a tar person sat on the rock, he becomes tamei because he's on top of this thing which is tamei, even though he's not actually touching it. He's on a rock which is on top of it. He still is tamei. The Mishnah continues, l'malam in Merkav, even higher level than Merkav is mishkav, which literally means sitting on. And why is that chamor? Sheshava magoy l'masai, touching it is similar to carrying it. Namely, the same way that when a person carries something that is zav sat on, he becomes tamei. It's the same thing, even if it's touched. And again, the level of tamei is going to be an avatama. And l'malam in a mishkav, even higher than mishkav is hazav, as zav himself, not something that zav sat on or touched or rode on, rather the person himself who's a zav. What's that chumra? Shazav is a mishkav. A zav himself creates a mishkav, and it's really not a chiddush. We already know this from our previous explanations that when a zav sits on something, for example, it's not only the tamei thing that he's sitting on, but everything underneath him as well, even though he's not touching it, and it's tamei to the high level of avatoma. However, so the mishnah of ein mishkav is a mishkav. A mishkav itself can't create a mishkav. If one of these things that the zav sat on was now placed on something else, that doesn't transfer this high level tomas mishkav. Now we continue discussing the levels of toma l'malam and azav, higher, more chamer than azav, zava. That's a woman who's a zava. Shehi metame is baila. She's metame the person who's bail her. If a zav is bail a regular woman, he's not metame her. But if a man is bail a zava, he becomes tamei with avatoma. L'malam and azava, a higher level than azava, mitzayra, that's mitzayra, shu metame bia, he's metame people on kalim, and he just walks into a house, he's metame them. L'malam and atayra, higher level than mitzayra is etzim kisayra, a bone the size of a barley, that means a bone from a dead person, the size of a barley, shu metame tovas shiva, that's higher than a mitzayra, because when it gets brought into the house, it's metame toma for 7 days, not just one day, and char mikulam, the highest level of toma is hames, a corpse itself, shu metame ba'oyel, it's matama in a tent, which means when there's a corpse inside a house or under some sort of roof, a tent, anything like that, it could even be under a tree, that would be considered an oil, a tent. That's matame everything which is underneath the same oil. Masha ain kul matamin, none of the other things are matame like that. And moving on to Mishnah Hey, we continue with a similar discussion. Eser tumah is precious min adam. There's 10 different levels of tumah which come out of a person's body themselves, which means a person could be 10 different levels of tumah, and there's varying restrictions and chumras by each one. So we started with the lightest one, mechusar kippurim, also because shemotar b'tshuva meiser. This person called mechusar kippurim, we'll explain in just a moment what that is. He's not allowed to eat kachim. However, he's allowed to eat truma and meiser. Now, what is mechusar kippurim? So literally, this means somebody who's lacking atonement. They don't have their kapara yet, and that's referring to a zav, zavam, etzaira, or yeledes, a woman after birth who didn't yet bring the karbanos. The reason why they call mechusar kippurim is because in some part, the karban they're supposed to bring is a kapara for them. So kol zman they haven't yet brought their karbanos, they're not allowed to eat kachim, but they still are allowed to eat truma and meiser. Now, moving on, chazalios tvul yom. If the person is a tvul yom, which is an earlier stage of tumah, which means that they went to the mikvah already after being tamei, but it's still not nightfall yet. So asar b'kadosh uba truma, they're not only asar to eat kachim, but also truma umatar meiser, but they're allowed to eat meiser sheni. Now chazalios balkari, if a person's balkari, which is only a man, he had semen come from him, asar b'shlashdan, they're also in all three, meaning including meiser sheni. Chazalios b'al nida, let's say a man is then b'al nida, metam mishkav tachlin ka'elyon, so he's metame this level, as we learned about earlier in the parak. Now focusing on his zav himself, chazalios zav shirash de riyos, let's say a person's a zav who saw two riyos, which means he had two flows come from his body, either two in the same day or two one day after another. So metame mishkav umayshav, his metame this, v'tzarch b'yas mayim chayim, he has to go into mayim chayim, which means he can't just go into a regular mikvah, he has to go into fresh spring water. However, potter min a karban, he's potter from a karban. Now rosh shalosh, this is a higher level, if he had three riyos of zav of this flow, chayv b'karban, he's also chayv in a karban. On the next level, now we're going to be discussing mitzaira. We know that if a person has saras on their skin, they go to the kain, and the kain has to determine whether or not it's saras. And the very general idea is that there's two different levels. There's something called a mitzaira musgar and a mitzaira mukhlat. Mitzaira musgar means he's closed off, confined, quarantined, locked up, put away. That happens for a week at a time when the kain is still deciding whether or not he's considered to have saras. And the mitzaira mukhlat means it's been decided. He is confirmed. He for sure has saras. Now, in both situations, whether he's mitzaira musgar or mukhlat, he's considered tameh, but they're different levels. And the Mishnah tells us, chazalias mitzaira musgar, if he's a mitzaira musgar, he's locked up, he's put away, he's quarantined. We're still not so sure if he's a full-fledged mitzaira. So metame mebiya, he is metame mebiya, as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. If he walks into a house, he's metame people and kelim that are there. However, upatra min apriya umin afrima, he's pater from growing his hair out and from tearing his clothing. And also when it's determined that he's not tameh, umin atigalachas umin atziparim, he doesn't have to shave his head or bring birds either. That's part of the karban of mitzaira. Now, if he was a mitzaira mukhlat, chayv b'kulon, he's chayv in all of them, meaning while he's still tameh, he has to let his hair grow out and tear his clothing. And once he finishes his tzaras period, he has to shave his hair and he has to bring birds as a karban. On to the next level, peir shemimenu aver, let's say a limb came off of a person. Now, as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, a corpse is the highest level of tumah. So it's the same thing with a limb from a person. If it totally separated from the body, it's metame tumas meis. However, there's different levels over here as well. If a limb separated from a person, she'ain all of basar karoi, it doesn't have enough meat on it, it doesn't have enough flesh. So metame magomasa, it's metame with magomasa, but ve'ain metame ba'oil, it's not metame ma'oil, it's not considered this high level of tumas meis. However, if it does have the proper amount of flesh on it, so metame magomasa uba'oil, it's also metame ba'oil. Now, what does that mean, basar karoi? So sheer basar karoi, kidei la'alois arucha, the amount of flesh it has to have on it is in order to be la'alois arucha, which means it has to be able to heal, the flesh has to be able to regenerate and regrow. In other words, if it was attached to the body, it would be able to regrow and regenerate and heal itself. So that's enough flesh that if it's detached from the body, it's metame tumas meis. Now, according to this definition, it's not clear how much we're referring to because every situation would be different. However, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he clearly defines it. Im yesh b'makom echad kidei la'kifay b'chot erev yesh b'la'alos arucha. If in one place on this bone, there's enough flesh that it could completely surround the bone with the thickness of an erev thread. This has to do with weaving back in the day. There's shesi and erev, the down and the cross, and the across thread that was double the thickness of the down thread, that's called the erev. So there's enough flesh to completely surround the bone in one part at the thickness of the erev thread, so that's considered enough, that's the halos arucha. Now from the beginning of the Masechta up until now, we've been learning of different levels of tumah. So once we're on that topic, the Mishnah now tells us, eser kedusha ishein, there's 10 different levels of kedusha, starting with the lightest, Eretz Yisrael, mekudeshes mekal ratzos. Eretz Yisrael is more holy than all other lands, and umai kedushasa, what makes it more kadosh? Shemivin v'men ha'omer v'abikur mushtei alachem ma she'ein mevinim kein mikol aratzos. In Eretz Yisrael, we bring the carbon omer, which is the barley carbon that's brought the second day of Pesach. We also bring bikurim, first fruits, only come from Eretz Yisrael, and the shtei alachem, which is a carbon that's brought on Shavuos, that's also brought only from Eretz Yisrael. None of these exist in all other lands. Moving on to Mishnah Zayin, going on to another level of kedusha, ayars hamakavas chayim mikdashes mimena. The cities in Eretz Yisrael, which had a wall at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, they're more mekudesh than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. What is their kedusha? Shemeshalchan mitachas hamitzrayim. If a person has saras, they get sent out of these cities. We know that the pasuk tells us that a mitzrayim has to be sent out of camp. Now that camp in the pasuk is referring to the midbar. Now once they're in Eretz Yisrael, there's no midbar. So what's the camp that they're sent out of? That's a walled city. People have saras have to be sent out of these walled cities. And also, we're not allowed to have tumas mace inside the city. Now if the tuvei ha'ir, the chashiv people who run the city, they're the ones who are in charge, the askanim, the rabbanim, they decide they want to bury somebody inside the city, that's okay, that's fine. Now that being said, the Mishnah tells us, umesavin l'sechon mace ad sheyirtzu, they're allowed to carry around a mace inside the walled city as much as they want, meaning if one of the residents of the city was inside and he died, so they don't have to take him out right away, it's okay for him to stay there, and they're allowed to move him around, and maybe they're going to decide to bury him inside the city, that would be okay. However, yatza, once this mace was brought out of the walled city, ein machzir noisai, he's not going to be brought back in. Now we've been discussing different levels of kedusha. We had already said that Eretz Yisrael was more mekudesh than all the other lands, and the walled cities within Eretz Yisrael are more mekudesh than other cities. Now the Mishnah discusses Yerushalayim itself, and we know that Yerushalayim is a walled city. So lefnim min achayim mekudesh mehem, within the wall of Yerushalayim is more mekudesh than other cities. What's its level of kedusha? Sha'ichlin shem kachim kalim meiser sheni, lighter level of kachim. It's called kachim kalim. For example, a carbon shlamim or a carbon toida, and also meiser sheni, which is the produce of years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle. Certain meiser called meiser sheni has to be taken off. These two things are allowed to be eaten within the entire wall of Yerushalayim. Next level, Har Habayis Mekudesh Mimenu, the section that's called Har Habayis, which is 500 by 500 Amos, that's a higher level of Kedusha. She'ein Zavin V'Zavos Nidas V'Yodas Nekasan L'Sham, somebody who's a Zav, Zava, Nida, or a woman after childbirth who hasn't become Tahar yet, they are not allowed to go into Har Habayis at all. On to the next level, Hachel Mekudesh Mimenu, the Chel, which was basically a 10 Amos section around the entire perimeter of the Beis Hamikdash itself, that's a higher level of Kedusha, She'ein Gaim with Tamei Mace Mechas L'Misham, that a guy or somebody who's Tamei Mace is not allowed to go there. Next level, Ezos Nashim Kedeshes Mimenu, the Ezos Nashim, which is the first courtyard in the Beis HaMikdash, that's more Mekudesh than the Chel, She'ein Tful Yom Nechas L'Misham, somebody who was Tamei and went to the Mikveh that day, but it still has not yet reached nightfall, so that Tful Yom is not allowed to go into the Ezos Nashim. However, Ve'en Chayav Anol HaChatos, a person's not going to be Chayav HaChatos for this situation. Now the next level, Ezos Yisrael Mekudeshes Mimena, the Ezos Yisrael, which is the next section of the Beis HaMikdash, that's basically the first 11 amos of what we call the Azara, which is where the Mizbeach and the Kiyor is, where all the Karbanis are processed. So the first 11 amos are called the Ezos Yisrael. That's more Mekudesh than the Ezos Nashim. She'ein Mechusar Kippurim Nechus L'Sham, a person who's Mechusar Kippurim, which as we know from an earlier Mishnah, means that he has to bring Karbanis in order to complete his Tahara process. He's not going to the Ezos Yisrael. And if he did, V'chayavan Ola HaChatos, one would be Chayav HaChatos for going there. On to the next level, Ezos HaKayhanim Mekudeshes Mimena, Ezos HaKayhanim, which is the next section of the same Azara, that's more Mekudesh than Ezos Yisrael. She'ein Yisrael Chasal Nisham El B'Shas Sarcheyem, a regular Yisrael is not allowed to go there unless they need to, meaning unless they're bringing a carbon and they're being involved in the Avodah, namely L'Smicha, L'Shchita, L'Tenufa, either they're doing Smicha on their carbon, which is leaning their body weight on it, they're doing Shchita on their carbon, or they're waving about parts of their carbon. That's the only time that a Yisrael is allowed to go into Ezos HaKayhanim, but besides that, Yisrael is not allowed there, so we see it's a higher level Kedusha.